Turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. We'll be looking at verses 15 through 19. I'll read the odd-numbered verses, and then if you'll join me on the even-numbered verses, we'll read responsively from verse 15 down to verse 19 of Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, why don't you stand with me, and I'll begin there at verse number 15 if you'll join me on verse 16. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, again, Lord, how we enjoy the different parts of the services. We enjoy the singing time. We enjoy hearing the music. We enjoy all that happens. But, Lord, how we look forward to this time, the preaching time. I pray, Lord, that you please speak to us, Lord. How we look forward to hearing from you and your Holy Spirit convicting us in areas that we need to improve. And, Lord, encouraging us. Lord, I pray that you please just speak to us tonight. That your Holy Spirit would be thick in here, be with our preacher. Fill him with your power. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
He didn't bring an army to help him on his way. His blood came streaming down.
Wow, that's a blessing, wasn't it? Thank you, ladies. That's great. A tremendous song, amen. Quite a story in a song, and quite a story behind those that sang it tonight. Yeah. Who had ever thought so many years ago those little girls be standing here tonight singing like that? Man. Whew. My mule's about to get out of the barn, amen. Glory to God, man. Just... Well, if you go somewhere and stay, and it's not, you know, it's not just the pastor. It's all of you folks who've been here over the years, and you've given, and you've prayed, and you've worked, and you've stayed, and that's you. That's the fruit of all that God has done. And every time those girls get to sing for us, I rejoice for their mom. I just rejoice for their mom. What a blessing. What a blessing. Man. Just a blessing. So thank you, ladies, for singing for us tonight. And that was great. Now, I am not going to preach first century missions giving. You thought I was, didn't you? Huh? You already figured you could just, you know, close your eyes, your ears, go to sleep. And because, you know, how many times have you heard it, right? If you've been here over the years. I am going to go through these verses. Because to me, this is the classic missions text in all our Bible. And I want to speak, but I want to give a testimony of the need supplied. You see that at the end of verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I just want to give a testimony about the need supplied and how God has been so faithful over these years. Father, we rejoice tonight. Our hearts are full. And Lord, we don't want to have the singer preempt the one who is sung about. And without you, there is nothing to shout about and to be happy about. So Lord, we're grateful for the Lord Jesus and grateful for you and your sacrifice. And God, just thank you for these that sang tonight and all these. I think of the ones that sang this morning and how my heart was so blessed to hear Joe and Becca. And Lord, to be able to sit now and see these young people who've grown up to be adults come back and just bless us. It's just remarkable, and we rejoice in it. Help me tonight, please, in these verses, in this text, and prepare our hearts for a wonderful time beginning next, even this Wednesday night. And we'll thank you in advance in Christ's name. And amen. I do want to go through these verses quickly with you tonight. I will take us to the second missionary journey. You will hear some of what you have heard if you've been here through the years. But remember, folks, we have new people in tonight who have not heard the message on first century missions giving. And years and years ago, and I don't even have to go back in the archives to find the first time that I preached this, but this is just a result of Bible study. And, you know, I heard a lot of messages on giving to missions. And I would always say, you know, there's got to, the chapters in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are great chapters about grace giving, biblical grace giving. But really, the context of those two chapters is about an offering that Paul was raising money for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And it really wasn't about missions. And I would hear messages on giving to missions and wonder, you know, is there a place in the Word of God where God's people gave money so that the gospel could be carried to distant lands and preached. And just in Bible study, in the office or at home, I forget where, all these verses began to open up. And we shared it with the church, and God blessed it. And for I don't know how many years, church, I preached it every year at missions conference time. Finally put it in a little booklet, and it's gone down other places, and people are using it. And sometimes they'll even say, man, don't preach that message on giving out of Philippians. I've already taught it here at the church, and that's okay. I don't mind that because, brother, if it's truth, let's get it out. Amen? Now, look at verse number 10. Paul is writing this to the church at Philippi, and he said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last year care of me hath flourished again. So Paul is thanking them for their care of him. Drop down to verse number 14. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. I want you to notice there, whatever this word communicate means, Paul said in verse 14 that they had done well in communicating with him. Now, this communication here in verse number 14 is not verbal communication in the sense of talking on the telephone or getting a hold of somebody by way of Skype or FaceTime. Of course, none of that existed in this day and age. Probably not even two tin cans with a string tied together. So when he says here, communicate in verse 14, what does he mean? And oftentimes people, just in the context itself, the definition of the word becomes clear. That's true here in verse 15, where he says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church," now notice that, "no church communicated with me," no assembly of born-again baptized believers, "communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So this communication that Paul talked about in verse number 14, that he said the church had done well in doing, this communication involved giving and receiving. The church gave and Paul received. And you see the definition of that right here in the Scripture. Oftentimes, the Bible defines itself. You don't have to go to the Greek, okay? The English Bible defines itself. So Paul said to the Philippian church, "Hey, you've done well. Thank you for your care, and you've done well. And in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no other church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. No other church gave to me so that I could receive, but ye only." Now I want you to notice in verse number 15 that Paul said this giving and receiving, this communication, took place in the beginning of the gospel, when he departed from Macedonia. And I read that one day and I said, what is that speaking of? And then I was reminded of the text that I preached from to you last Sunday night in Acts chapter 16, where Paul had the vision and the man from Macedonia said, "Come over and help us." What he is referring to in Philippians chapter 4 is the second missionary journey he took. Now hold your ribbon here, or put a piece of paper or something, and turn with me back to the book, Acts chapter 16, where we were last Sunday night. I'm not going to go through verses 6, 7, and 8. We went through those last week. We're going to pick it up. He's seen the Macedonian vision. And the Bible says, we talked about how the immediate obedience in verse number 10, he says, "Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." And so look at verse number 12. "And from thence to Philippi." And I did bring my signs tonight, and I am going to have some fellows help me out. And so let me just start right here. Trent, if you would, since you're right here on the front. If you would, Trent, just if you'll stand. How should I do this tonight? Okay, if you'll stand right over here on this part of the top step there, just right there, buddy, and hold that sign out to the folks so they can see it. So turn this way a little bit so that everybody can see. Philippi. Now the Bible says that Paul went to Philippi in verse number 12. He said, the Bible says it was the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. So Macedonia is a country. Macedonia is not a city. Macedonia is, pardon me, a large geographical area, much like the state of Illinois. Okay, so you got Macedonia. Macedonia is the country. Philippi is the city. And the Bible tells us here that Paul went to Philippi. Now, shorten the story drastically from my regular message because I'm going somewhere. You remember that when Paul got to Philippi, in Acts chapter 16, we find out that people got saved and people got baptized. Lydia got saved. Got saved down by the river. And that's a part of this message that I won't go into, how Paul went to the Jew first everywhere he went. Always went to the Jew first. Well, Lydia got saved. And the Bible says her household. And then later on, they were put in prison. You remember that? For preaching. And they prayed and they sang praises at midnight and God sent the earthquake. And the jailer got saved and he got baptized. And the jailer's household got saved and the jailer's household got baptized. So in Philippi, Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. People got saved, people got baptized, and a church was begun in Philippi. We have a whole book in the Bible called Philippians, which is the letter to the church of Philippi. Okay? But Paul didn't stay there. If you continue on in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse number 1, you'll find out, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica." Chandler, can I use you, buddy? If you would, please stand right here for me. Paul didn't stay in Philippi. The Bible tells us in Acts 17 that he went to Thessalonica. Now, church, and I know this is redundant for many of you, but for some it's not. Thessalonica is still in Macedonia. Paul hasn't left Macedonia yet. He's still in. It would be like going from Chicago to Champaign. okay, in the state of Illinois. So he's gone from Philippi now to Thessalonica. Shorten the story. When he gets to Thessalonica, he goes to the synagogue. He preaches to the Jews first. In Thessalonica, people get saved. People get baptized. This is verses 1 through 4. You can read it. And a church was started. Now, people, let me just pause for a minute to say this. The purest form of Bible missions is getting folks saved, baptized, and starting a New Testament church. That is the purest form of Bible missions. I'm not against other good mission things like camps and schools and orphanages and all those things. That's all fine. I'm not against those. But the purest form of Bible missions is getting folks saved, having them baptized, and then organizing them into a local church. That's exactly what Paul did in Philippi. It's what he did in Thessalonica. But he didn't stay in Thessalonica. Long down about verse number 10, you'll read in chapter 17, if you're there with me, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea." Elijah, I'll bring you up here, please, if you would. Stand right here to the left of Chandler and hold up the sign that says Berea. Okay, so Paul goes from, he's on his missionary journey. And others with him, Paul and Silas. He goes from Thessalonica, scoot this way just a little bit, Chandler. He goes from Thessalonica to Berea. He's still in Macedonia. He hasn't left Macedonia yet, okay? Still in the region, the country of Macedonia. It would be like going from Chicago or Chicago to Champaign to Effingham, Illinois. All in the same state, all in the same country. We're still in Macedonia here, okay? Again, now, he has folks saved and he has folks baptized. We don't know of a church that was started in Berea. But I don't think we do a disservice to the Scripture to assume that what Paul did in Philippi and what he did in Thessalonica, he did in Berea. He started a church with those converts, okay? I don't think we do an injustice to the Scripture to assume that or speculate that. This is part of his missionary journey. Philippi, Thessalonica, now he's in Berea. Now look at Acts chapter 17 and verse number 15, okay? "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens." Now, this is a critical part in this. Ray, if you would, you want to come stand here with me, bud, and hold this thing up here. Okay, now, when Paul, listen carefully, when Paul departs from Berea to go to Athens, he leaves Macedonia. If you check out the map in the back of your Bible, it's not inspired, but it's helpful. Okay? You check out the map, you'll find that Macedonia, that Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea are in Macedonia. You'll find that Athens is in Achaia. So in order to get from Berea to Athens, he had to depart from Macedonia. It would be like going from Chicago to Champaign to Effingham and then going east. And what is that, 70 that runs through Effingham and goes over to Indianapolis, I suppose. Okay, Indianapolis over there. It would be, that's what he did. You would depart from Illinois to go to Indiana. This is what Paul did on his second missionary journey. Okay, now, I preached last Sunday night about what happened in the city of Athens. I'm not going to rehearse that sermon. But Paul got caught up in the intellectualism and the scholarship of the city of Athens, and he got away from the pure gospel message, and very few people were saved. Very few people were saved. But Paul didn't stay there. Acts chapter 18, if you just turn there, if you have it in your Bible, Acts chapter 18. "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth." Gage, let me get you up here, bud, if you would please. And get the younger guys up here and the older guys can take a break. Amen. So that'll be a blessing. Older guys are sitting, not me. Please, not me. But anyway. So he comes to Corinth. Now, Corinth is in Achaia. So Corinth is in the same area as Athens is. Okay? His second missionary journey. And when he gets to Corinth, guess what happens? People get saved. By the way, the chief ruler of the synagogue at Corinth gets saved. I mean, the chief ruler. Brother, that's a great lesson. Things didn't go well here, but Paul didn't quit. He just stayed at it, stayed faithful, and when he got to Corinth, God gave him, if you will, a prize convert. Okay? The chief ruler of the synagogue there. And folks got baptized, and a church was started. There are two books in your New Testament written to the church at Corinth, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Now, this is Paul's second missionary journey. Okay? He wants to go northeast, right? But he has the Macedonian vision. And God says, I want you to keep going west. And so he crosses the Aegean Sea into Macedonia, and he goes to Philippi. He goes to where the people are, and he preaches. Folks get saved, baptized, church started. Off to Thessalonica, folks saved, baptized, church started. Off to Berea, folks saved, baptized, possibly a church started. He leaves Macedonia, he goes to Achaia, comes to Athens, goes okay, but not real fruitful. Goes on down to Corinth, folks saved, folks baptized, and a church started. That's Paul's second missionary journey. Okay, now back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 15, where he said to the Philippian church, where is that, folks? That's back here, right? So he's talking to this church right here. Okay, he's talking to this group of believers that are in the city of Philippi. So he says in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. When did he depart from Macedonia? When he left Berea to go to Athens, he departed from Macedonia, and he said to this church, thank you for sending me an offering. When I departed from Macedonia on my missionary journey, no other church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Thank you. By the way, when you keep that in mind when you read the book of Philippians and notice the terminology that Paul uses about that church. He calls them my beloved, my dearly beloved. Paul had a fondness, a love for this church, and you can understand why. Man, they helped him on his missionary journey. Now, here's what this means, folks. When Paul was on his journey, and he got ready to go from Berea to Athens, somebody came from the church at Philippi, caught up with him, and said, Paul, we had a church service. And at that church service, somebody talked about you being on your journey. And we realized that you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we realized that people are getting saved where you preach. And we thought it would be a nice thing to take up an offering and send you a little money to help you on your journey. And they gave Paul an offering. That's his testimony right here. That's Paul's own testimony. Okay? But now, wait a minute, folks. Look at the next verse. Look at verse number 16. For even in Thessalonica ye sent. Whoa, whoa. Where's Thessalonica? That's back here. So this church didn't wait until Paul got here to give him an offering. This church took an offering for him when he was here. They said, some church service said, hey, anybody got a blessing to share? Yeah, I got a blessing to share. I heard that the Apostle Paul was down in Thessalonica, however many miles away it is, and he's preaching the gospel down there. And folks are getting saved, and folks are getting baptized, and the church is trying to organize a church. And somebody says, well, let's help old Paul. And so they passed the plate, they took up some money, and the Bible says that this church at Philippi sent to him when he was in Thessalonica. One city away. But now, wait a minute, that's not all it says. Keep reading. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again. So the next month, they said, hey, Paul's still down in Thessalonica, let's send him something. And they gathered some funds, and they sent some money to Thessalonica to help support the Apostle Paul. Now, folks, look, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, you have right there, you have at least three times when this church sent the Apostle Paul money. At least three times. At least twice in Thessalonica. And by the way, folks, I know, speculation and opinion, all that, you can only go so far. But, I don't think we do an injustice to the Scriptures if this church sent once and again, twice, three times, four times when he's in Thessalonica. It's a pretty good chance that they might have sent it when he was in Berea. If they sent it here when he got ready to leave Berea, it's a pretty good chance that they just were helping the Apostle Paul on this missionary journey. And look what it says at the end of verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. That's an important word. If you like to study your Bible, circle it. What is the root word of necessity? Need. So they sent to Paul's what? Need. That's what we're going to do with these folks. That's what these missionaries are. Look, folks, missionaries do not live in luxury. Now, Brent Gillis will tell you that Ben and Ashley have a nice house for Madagascar. By Malagasy standards, they have a nice house. By United States of America standards, their house would be below average. But they live in a nice house. These missionaries are not getting rich. They're not living luxuriously. And I'm so glad he went to a college that stressed when they were in school, you men who take your wives to the mission field, you put them in a safe place where they can feel safe and feel like it's my little part of home and decorate it and make it something like they want it to be. I'm so glad Ben followed through on that because I think that's very helpful to missionary wives. I think your mom did the same thing, Ryan, down in Buenos Aires in Argentina. Had that place that was just theirs. Okay? So on this journey, this church down here, you guys doing all right? It's hard to stand still, ain't it? You don't have to stand like a wooden Indian, okay? Yeah, okay. Now, this church down here has sent at least three times to the Apostle Paul on this journey. You say, Brother Angel, how do you know that this was money and not a care package? Because, you know, a lot of churches have missionary societies and they gather up Afghans and toothpaste and Kool-Aid. You ever tried to eat an Afghan? It's not very easy. Now, I'm not against that, but it takes more than Afghans to do the work of God. Now, I don't have to speculate as to what they sent Paul. Hold your finger here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, okay? Turn back there just a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul is writing to what church? He's writing to this church, okay? He's writing to the church at Corinth. And he is recalling when he was there on his first missionary journey. And he said to them in verse number 7, Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? Now, what does that mean? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. When he says he preached to them the gospel of God freely, it doesn't mean what he was preaching was that salvation is free. Of course he was preaching that. But what he's talking about here, folks, is he didn't take a dime from this church. He didn't take a dime. He preached the gospel of God unto them freely. He wasn't recompensed at all for his work when he was in Corinth preaching. Read on, verse number 8. I robbed other churches. Is that singular or plural? That's plural. I robbed other churches taking Afghans? Toothpaste? No. What did he take of other churches? Do we need a Greek dictionary to figure this out? A wage is a stipend. It's a payment. Okay? So he robbed other churches, that's plural, taking wages of them so I could serve you. When I was with you, I didn't take a dime from you. I robbed other churches so that I could be in Corinth preaching to you the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't take one dime from you when I was there. Next verse. Verse 9. And when I was present with you, and what's the next word? Wanted. What does that mean? He was hurting? A little short? Okay. I was chargeable to no man. I didn't go around Corinth saying, hey, can you loan me $5? Can I get a little bit of an advance in pay? He didn't do that. I was chargeable to no man, and here's what happened. Oh, this will bless your blesser. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, from where? Whoa. And he didn't just say Philippi. He said Macedonia, and he said church as plural. Where do you think that started? Somebody at Philippi stood up and said, hey, the Apostle Paul's still on his journey. Man, he's going further away. He's down in Corinth in Achaia. And he's preaching. Let's take up an offering. We've helped him here, and we've helped him over here when he left to go to Achaia. Let's help him again. They got some money together, and they went by the church in Thessalonica and said, hey, we're taking an offering to the Apostle Paul way down there in Corinth. Would you like to help? Oh, yeah, we'd like to help too. Went by Berea and said, hey, we'd like to take an offering to the Apostle Paul. Would you like to help? Oh, yeah, we'll take an offering. And the churches, plural, of Macedonia got Paul an offering, wages, stipend, pay. And Paul said that when they brought that money, these churches were supplying his needs. is money, folks. That's why I get so aggravated at people who are so pious. And they're just pious. I'm not talking about money. Money. It takes money to do the work of God. It was taking money back in the first century. And it's probably a little bit more expensive now. Get over it. Take an aspirin. I don't know what you need to do. Go see the chiropractor and get you untwitched. I don't know. It takes money. It's always taking money. It's ridiculous. Like Peggy said when she wanted to come to Vacation Bible School, 30-something years of age, the bus driver said, "Peggy, you can't come. It's only 6 grand." That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They took money. They took wages. And they got it to the Apostle Paul when he was in Corinth. And Paul's testimony was that those churches supplied his need. Now, let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. And we're done turning passages of Scripture. So here these churches are. They join together. And by the way, isn't this exactly what those missionaries on the wall out there are doing? Aren't we just one of how many churches who are joining together and sending them some cash money on a monthly basis so that they can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, these churches gave so that his need could be supplied. Now, what do you think here, though? I guess I got this figured out. These churches were in such... they were doing so well financially. Their coffers were full and overflowing. They had more money than they knew what to do with. And so they figured, let's just get it to the missionaries. Don't think so. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul talks about how the churches in Macedonia were in deep poverty. Hello? Now, if you're in deep poverty and you give money away, you reckon you're giving away money that you may need? So poor churches, poor people, they take money that they need and they use it to supply the missionaries' need. So I guess they're just out. We got to get to verse 19. But Paul says, "You have supplied my need." That's why he said, folks, in verse 18, it's an offering of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing. Paul said, I get this offering from these churches and I realize what that means. That does not come from savings accounts. It does not come from money overflowing from CDs and investments. That's money that they need. And they give it up so that I can preach. Paul's not a greedy money monger. Money. He's saying he understands the widow and the single mom and the working dad and the young couple and the middle-aged couple who gave what they needed so he could preach the gospel, because there is no greater message. So they supplied his need. But Paul said, "Church, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That means, friend, every time they took up an offering and it was used to supply the missionary's need, God's promise is, "I'll get that back to you." Now, church, in this day and age, America, we're pretty prosperous. And if you're giving money out of an abundance, then okay, that's great. I'm not against that. But I'm here to tell you that if you're giving money out of what you need to send any of these missionaries to preach the gospel, God's promise is that He'll give it back. Now, it may not fall out of the sky. Only Mike Bragg finds $100 bills. Only Mike Bragg. Brother Mick, he finds, sorry, yesterday, we visited together yesterday and I introduced him. This is Brother Mick. Mitch? No, Mick. So he finds $5 bills, right? What is it? Not even that? Oh, nothing. Okay. Your dad and I found a $10 bill one time down at Riverside Hospital. I gave Brother Harrison $5 and kept the other $5. But Bragg, he finds $100 bills. $100. Now, if you're giving money out of what you need to supply these missionaries, God is going to give it back. And it may not fall out of the sky. It probably won't fall out of the sky. But folks, I don't have to stand here tonight. Y'all could stand here. And you could say for years, I have given money that I thought I needed to support missionaries. And somehow, some way, God has given back. You know what that is? That's just God keeping His promise. It's just God. I love Philippians 4:19. You mark this down. In its context, it's a missions-giving promise. It's a missions-giving promise in its context. Thank you, fellas. I'll take your placards here. And y'all did a good job. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Now, I said that I was going to hurry through that, and I did, because I wanted to just give a testimony. Because some of the folks who've come in recent years to our church don't know. You know, now, can a single believer claim Philippians 4:19 as a missions-giving promise? Sure. But folks, it's also a promise to a church collectively. Okay? So it applies to you and me individually, but it also, and by the way, you know, Jamie sang up here tonight, and Keith's down in Amazon Basin. What a thrill it will be someday to have Keith and Jamie here as missionaries going out to Brazil and be able to support them. Now, 1980, Tim Starr was the assistant pastor at Faith Baptist Church. I was out in Iowa just starting out with Brother Brown. He became pastor of this church in 1980. Put in place by the former pastor and the vote of the church. And a short time after Tim Starr became pastor of this church, this is back in the old days before this building, this part of this building existed. Shortly after he became pastor, he found out that the finances were in horrible, were in total disarray. And I don't know, and there's all kinds of stories and people say this and that. I just know what Brother Starr told me. He said there were unpaid mortgages. Months of unpaid mortgage. There were unpaid bills. He said he found a drawer with unpaid bills in the pastor's desk. And I wasn't here. This is what he said. He said that he took those bills and he before the days of, you know, all that we have now, the overhead projectors, and he put those bills on a transparency and put them on the opaque projector. And got the men together, and he said, okay, fellas, he said, this electric bill is past due. And somebody said, I'll pay it. And here's another bill. Somebody said, I'll pay it. And here's another bill. Somebody said, I'll pay it. But it was tough sledding financially. Tough sledding financially. And I forget what year, maybe some of you folks would remember, 81, 82, somewhere along in there. He heard that Don Sisk was preaching up here at Crete, Illinois, for Pastor Leon Elder. I heard Brother Elder preach when I was a college student. And he knew about Brother Sisk, was at that time director at BIMI down in Chattanooga. Great missionary in Japan for years, and then later on became the director at BIMI. And he said, I'm going to go up there and talk to Don. So he asked Brother Elder, he said, if I drive up, and can I have a few minutes with Brother Sisk, if he'll let me in? And Brother Elder said, sure. And so Brother Starr met with Don Sisk. And Don Sisk said, how many missionaries do you support? Now, this is what I was told. He said, we don't support any. He said, brother, you don't even have a church. Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? You go somewhere to be encouraged, and the guy tells you, you don't even have a church. You don't support any missionaries? He said, no. He said, you need to support missionaries. Now, he's sinking financially. And the only advice he's getting from this man is to give money away. And he's mad. And those of you that knew Brother Starr, he could get mad. Okay. And so he drove back to Bourbonnais. He was ticked off. He thought, you know, I go up there and try to get some help and encouragement. All I'm told is that we don't have a church and we got to give some money away. But the Holy Spirit of God convicted him and worked on his heart. And he picked up the phone and he called Brother Sisk and he said, give me your first open dates. And I don't know, Delbert, some of you guys might remember, it was either January or February. And Brother Sisk said, I can give you Sunday through whatever, January of 81, 82, 83, somewhere in there. Y'all know the remember the date? Do you remember what date it was, anybody? I don't know. I can't remember. You remember Grace? No. 81. And Don Sisk came and preached Faith Promise Missions. And there were enough commitments to take on 13 missionary families. So they started supporting 13 missionary families. A church that was sinking financially started taking money that they needed and gave it to missionaries. And God began to bless. And God turned that thing around. Turned it around financially. And they kept adding missionaries. I came here in 1990. We had approximately 30 missionaries. I don't know if Maud or Pam can remember. About 30 missionaries. I don't remember exactly. And the church had lost attendance when I came. By the time I got here in 90, the church had lost attendance. And y'all refinanced the mortgage right before I came because you couldn't make the full payment. It was just being refinanced when I came. And somehow, some way, and I didn't come from a church that had Faith Promise Missions. Brother Brown just supported missionaries out of the offerings. And so we didn't say much about missions, but we supported the missionaries. I don't know how we did it. That first summer, I don't know how we did it. I know there were times when we'd look at the offerings from Sunday and decide what to pay. Decide which bill to hold, which bill to pay. Somehow the missionaries, I know how. Some of you that were here, them old boys from Texas, the Houston area, were up here working at the power plants, contractor work, and they started coming, and they liked it, and they just started dumping money. They just started dumping money in. They never joined the church. They were only here for like six months. But they gave and they gave and they gave and they gave and they gave. And I think God just, then they left and never heard from them again. God does all that. But we were short every month. We had to take money from the general fund to make the missionaries support payments. $600, $700, $800 a month we took from the general fund to give to the missionaries. And you know, it took a while for this thick skull here. And I thought, this is not working. It's my fault. Some people were still giving because they believed in it. And they were giving, but it was way short of what we needed. And I called Brother Vineyard, I think in 93, 92, and he came. And for how many years he preached our missions conferences. And we took on 13 and 16 and 14. 16 and 13 missionaries year after year after year there for a while. And here we sit tonight. This building went up and was paid for in 7 years. That building over there is on track to be paid for hopefully in the next 3 or 4 years if we can keep aggressive and keep after it. God has grown the value of the property immensely. You walk out there in that foyer, walk down that hall, and you see that board after board after board after board after board. We pass by it blindly. You better stop and look at it. Because I'm convinced that's the reason we're here tonight. I'm convinced with all of my heart. That's why this place is still going. And we're able to send $7,500, $8,000 to the people in Louisiana with the floods and the churches down there. And we're able to do that, folks. And we don't sit and say, what bills do we pay? We pay our bills in advance. And I'm not lifting man up tonight. I'm raising my hands to an almighty, powerful God who keeps His promise. That when you supply the missionary's need, I'll supply yours. And that's individually and that's collectively. Guess what? I'm not saying that we won't hit hard times financially. We've had some, back in 08, when that thing went down, we took a little bit of a punch. But God's always met our needs and beyond. And I say to you tonight, if you're not given to missions, you can trust the God of that promise right there. You can trust Him. You say, well, Brother Angel, I need every dime I get. Yeah, I know a lot of folks do. But you'll find God to be true. You give just a little bit to missions and you watch God supply that. And that'll grow your faith. And then again, another year later, maybe increase it. That's what I did. And God has just supplied the need. And I just give all glory to Him tonight. And that's why this meeting. Now, you can't violate other financial principles and still expect God to bless. If you do right financially and you do the best you can with missions giving, you have the promise of God that He's going to give back everything you give to missions. And that's why this is so vitally important. So vitally important. And I've heard other stories. Maybe the name Pat Creed, maybe that means something to you, maybe it doesn't. He was out in Maryland, and he got ready to turn the church over to his son. And he said, son, right toward the end of his tenure, he said, son, I want you to go for a walk with me. And they walked around the property and all these buildings and everything paid for and parking lot and all of it. And he said, son, I just want you to remember, missions built all this. Missions built all this. Every bit of this is missions. And boy, I'm telling you, folks, we just want to stay on the right track with our giving and our missions emphasis. And that's why this is so vitally important. That's why I come to you again just asking you, give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. I'm afraid. You don't have to be afraid. He's a trustworthy God. What He says, He will do. Father in heaven, we rejoice tonight. We lift our hearts to You and I lift my hands to You and just thank You. And praise and worship, O God, for who You are and what You are and Your character, Your greatness, Your strength, Your might. And I'm glad that we can trust You. And we rejoice in all that You've done for us, Lord, as a church and as individuals. And I just pray that You will be with us as we enter into this most important time. May we seek Your face and give ourselves to You. And once again, Lord, ask You to have Your way in our lives. And Lord, maybe You'll tap somebody on the shoulder and say, I want you to go. But if You don't tap us on the shoulder and say, I want you to go, then we need to listen for the still small voice that says, I want you to give. And trust You to be true to Your word. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is not a salvation message, but if the Spirit of God is pounding on your heart tonight about your eternal destiny, we have the word of salvation we can share with you. And if you are to say, then we just ask you tonight to give your heart to God. If He gets your heart, He gets you, He'll get your wallet, your purse. And let's obey the Lord and trust Him to be true. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation tonight.